And I just want people, specifically young Black girls, to see a wide nose, full lips, dark skin, curly haired woman as desirable, as chosen, as fancy, as fantastic and main character and loved as much as possible.
This is Sonny on Air.
Does we have any Rick James?
Open like a window, no window. Look at the videos, stuff that could be you.
Because they're like, this is Sonny on Air. And everybody on the East Coast calls me Don. I'm like, what is Don?
My mom thought I was on Long Island, but I was at Howard Homecoming.
Ready?
Turn it up.
Let's go.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. You are now tuned into another amazing edition of Sonny on Air. I'm your host, Sonya Hudson Payne, and how do I start off each and every single show? You guessed it, I have another great show for you. Coming up in just a few short moments, I have actress Shaniqua Shande. Now, Shaniqua plays Angie on the hit Amazon Prime show, Harlem. Love, love, love that show. How many of you have seen that show? If you haven't seen that show, as soon as you finish watching this conversation, head on over to Amazon Prime. You can catch up with season one because season two is about to launch in just a few short weeks. So you want to make sure that you get caught up because we need to make sure that dope shows like Harlem and other dope shows stay on the air. So you have to watch, 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 support, support, support. And you can support by watching at certain times, subscribing to Amazon Prime, and tell a friend. Tell a friend, to tell a cousin, to tell a neighbor, to tell an auntie, to tell a fan, to tell a sister wife, to tell a side chick, tell somebody, child, because this is a show that you definitely have to watch. But before we go any further with this conversation, make sure that you subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. Sonya on Air streams across just about every major streaming platform. So you have no excuse, no excuse to say, I can't find Sonya on Air because you's a lie. Lies and fabrication, because you can find Sonya on Air on just about every major streaming platform. If you're watching this on YouTube and just about every other streaming platform, make sure that you also leave a comment. Make sure that you share it. But if you're watching this on YouTube, make sure that you hit the little notification bell. Looks like a bell, child, right there, okay? Because once you hit the notification bell, what happens is every time I upload an all-new Sonya on Air celebrity interview, guests will be the first ones to know. Guests will be the first one on the block to say, I know something that you don't. You, child, you. Okay, I'm doing you a favor by putting you on first. So make sure that you hit the notification button. But back to Shaniqua. Shaniqua, I didn't know who she was until I saw her on Harlem. And then one day, I'm just minding my own business, you know, just doing a little shopping in Bloomingdale's in the shoe department, just trying to find me a new fabulous pair of shoes. And I look over to my right and I said, "Ooh, that is Angie on Harlem. That is Shaniqua Shande." And I really wanted to have a conversation, but when I'm out just chilling, chillaxing, you know, just leading my own personal life, trying to mind my business, I don't want to infringe upon a celebrity's private moment. And she was shopping with her mother. So I was just over there, you know, just looking at the Sam Edelman shoes, just looking. just inching a little bit closer, just enamored, because her character, Angie on Harlem, it's a character that really resonates with me. This is a woman who stands in her truth. She is sexually liberated. She ain't a hoe though. She ain't a hoe. She's sexually liberated. If she feels like it, she'll do it. She tells you the unabashed truth and then it's like, deal with it. But you know, I say it out of love. People who know me, whenever I have something uncomfortable to say, I lead it with, you know, I love you, though. That's before, you know, you drop the uncomfortable news. Started off with, you know, I love you, though. it kind of lands better. So we're going to bring in Shaniqua in just a few short moments, but we're going to take a quick commercial break. So make sure that you stay tuned to Sign You In if you need to just, you know, grab a little glass of champagne or grab a glass of wine or get your potato chip. Let me say, I'm in love with Lay's kettle cooked salt and vinegar chips. And let me tell you, I'm still old school. Any potato chip that I get, I just can't get one flavor of potato chip. No, child. I'm a Brooklyn girl, NYC all day. What I have to do is, now I've upgraded from the brown paper bag. So what I do now, I just get me a little Ziploc bag. And I get like maybe two or three of different kinds of potato chips. And I put them in the Ziploc bag and you got to shake it up. You shake it up and you eat them. And just the myriad of flavors, child, it's a party. It's a party. It's a party. Okay. But the fundamental chip that I must have, the must have chip, is the Lay's kettle cooked salt and vinegar. It'll change your life. So go ahead and change your life. Go to the store and get you some Lay's kettle cooked salt and vinegar potato chips. Tell them Sonia sent you. Okay. Oh, we're going to take a few commercial breaks and we'll be right back with Sonia on Air. Stay tuned. I'll be back. I promise.
Do you work out on the regular? Fuel your cart goals with Instacart, the go-to service for quick delivery straight to your home. Use the special Sonia on Air link below.
This is Sonia on Air.
Shaniqua?
Hi, hi, Miss Sonia. How are you?
Not Miss Sonia.
I'm sorry, hi, Queen Sonia.
I'll take that.
How you doing?
I'm fine. Let me tell you something. Let me start by saying thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Because you know, if you know the backstory of how I was watching you in Bloomingdale's buying shoes with my daughter one day.
Stop, mm-hmm. In New York?
Yes.
Yes, I remember you.
You were buying shoes for your birthday.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And I was buying shoes for just whatever. And I was with my daughter and I was like, oh my gosh, that's Angie from Harlem. And she's like, better not say anything. And I was like, no, I'm going to respect her space because she's with her mother. But I said, I have to reach out to you for an interview because you are slaying it in Harlem.
Thank you so much. Thank you. And I love that we had that interaction. That's amazing. It's so divine.
You never know who's watching, who's respecting your work, but I'm definitely a fan. I respect your personal space, but now that I have you on the show,
you're going to get all of it in my personal space.
I'm going to get all of your people.
These questions are brilliant.
Really?
So good. Yes. I haven't been in the game forever. So I'm not like doing press for like 10, 20 years, but it's still very repetitive, you know? Mm-hmm. So I was like, my mom sent these over, she's my manager, And I was like, oh my gosh, she's asking me things I've never been asked before.
Yeah. So beautiful. It's important for me to really unpack pivotal moments and milestones. And I just want to make sure that women like me and young girls growing up, that we're giving them the examples that they need in order to feel powerful. Because this world, unfortunately, is kind of designed to build us down and to lower our self-esteem. So this is the purpose of this conversation, because I just want to remind all of our melanin queens that beauty comes in all shapes and sizes. So amen. Thank you for providing that to us all.
Thank you so much.
So let's get started. So who you are today is definitely not who you are, who you were as a young girl. As a young girl, you battled with, you know, just having curly hair, a darker complexion, gap teeth, all stereotypes that society told us just wasn't beautiful. But then you evolved and you now wore your skin as silk, your hair like a crown. and your teeth like a friendly greeting. How did that evolution take place? Talk to us about that.
All right. I was severely bullied in school. And I remember the transition from eighth grade to high school was like really a pivotal moment for me. I went my freshman year, I remember thinking, I'm tired of being bullied, so I'm just gonna hide in the background. So I wore gray sweats and hats and tried to fade as much as I possibly could. I tried to make myself as small as possible. And even then, I was still tormented. And so I looked at that year of me hiding and wearing sweats and not being true to myself and going out of my way to be as invisible as possible and still being tormented as a humongous lesson that no matter what you do, people gonna have something to say. So you might as well show up as brilliantly, as vibrantly, as true to yourself as possible. And at least if people are going to comment on that, you are in your truth rather than disforming yourself into something you don't recognize. And then you have to deal with your own self-conscious, your own inner voice combating and wanting to be seen and really having no integrity within. And so I made that choice from then on that I was going to be me and I'm going to show up and I'm going to wear heels and sequins and sparkles. I remember 10th grade, from my 10th grade to my, towards the end of my junior year, I wore heels every day. And I just went out of my way to be like, you gonna see me. And literally every hallway was my runway. And I just dared people to comment. Because I would rather be me. I would rather be loud and true to my voice, have integrity to myself and not be liked or be hated on than try to be what's friendly or try to be honestly what doesn't offer any kind of I don't want to say competition because the only person we compete with is ourselves. But there's a lot of people who are just intimidated by your light shining because they haven't allowed themselves to shine brightly. And I'd rather that form of intimidation coming from me being true to me rather than having to deal with the being a prisoner of words unsaid or being a prisoner of creativity not shown, you know? So I feel like that's the worst form of living to me, to be trapped in something that's not true to you rather than to be an outsider. I'll take the outcast any day.
I love it. So what I heard from that was, you just made a decision to just step into your beauty and your grace. You just made the decision.
Yeah.
Key right there. So I'm hoping that people decide to make the decision to just step into their beauty and just own it. I was a young girl who grew up in Brooklyn in the projects, and my parents had me in spaces where there were other people who didn't look like me. And I knew early on at that age, because let me tell you, one day I was maybe in the fourth grade and I was sitting on a New York City bus. This is a true story. Mm-hmm. And I turned and I looked into the window, and staring back at me was the reflection of me as an older, successful woman. And at that moment, I knew, I was like, oh, God, you got a plan for me. So I decided to walk into the space that I knew that God was going to place me in because again, I decided. So thank you for reminding us that all we have to do is decide.
Yes.
So,
you're prophetic.
Okay. Another woman who, decided to stand in her own truth and grace and mercy during this recent year's Golden Globe Awards was Cheryl Lee Ralph. Yeah. She spoke to her 15-year-old self. I often do that a lot. What would you say to your 15-year-old Shaniqua?
I've been working on music, and the first, I have two songs that repeat the same mantra that I think is so important for me as a younger person is to let it go. You have to let it go. Are you holding on to unforgiveness or pain or traumas from things? Those people have moved on with their lives. Those people gone and free, and you still holding a place in your heart for them, and you just have to let it go. I know it hurt. I know it was unfair. And I am so sorry that that happened to you, but you have to let it go and take up all the space that you want. Take it up, take it up, take it up, because there's always room for more. Mm-hmm. And you being fearless in taking up space will allow someone else to spread their wings even further. So let it go, take up space. And yeah, those the main thing for me, girl. You got to forgive. You have to forgive. I spent a lot of years traumatized from past encounters and afraid to really be vulnerable and make real genuine friends, like have real genuine interactions, because growing up in the South, not necessarily in the South, but just where you aren't encouraged to be in a city, in a community, in an overall like political theme of keeping you as marginalized, as downtrodden, as small as possible. Because a lot of thank God, like Virginia, I was so happy for my city to see Virginia pulling down like those racist monuments on Monument Avenue during the quarantine. I was so proud of my city. Yeah. Well, growing up there in the 90s and early 2000s, the Monument Ave literally was still something that was celebrated and looked up as our leaders up until 2021. Mm-hmm. So these are all people who fought for the wrong side of the Civil War and who had slaves. And you have to, as a young child, go past one of the most like rich and beautiful streets in our city, and it's nothing but faces that told you you are nothing, you are property. And that thought process and that theme kept for a very long time. So growing up in the 90s and 2000s and being someone who's always been encouraged to be as voluminous as possible, as grand and luxurious as possible. My grandmother is a diva. My mama's a diva. My aunties are just aware of their worth, you know, and that was smothered. It was very much, they do their best to smother it as much as possible. So I think I lost track.
It's okay because it goes along with, you know, what I was going to say next, just about the images that we see. You know, you can get all of the love and support that you need inside your home. And as soon as you step across the threshold and you enter into the world, it's like, okay, the world is telling me something different. I don't know what I should hold on to.
What is true?
What's true? So going back to Cheryl Lee Ralph, you know, not only did she speak to her 15-year-old self, now she's receiving a whole lot of backlash because she's encouraging girls to just own your body type and not subscribe to these BBLs. And she mentioned, you know, a family, the Kardashian family, and now she's getting all of this slack.
Yeah.
What do you think about, you know, this space that we're in where girls think that in order to fit in, they just have to recreate a whole new body?
Yeah, I found that to be, my heart breaks for them, honestly. I always, there was a good period of time where I was like, where are my leaders for my young Black women? Where are this generation's, you know, Raven Simone and Kyla Pratt, like who do they have to look up to that are showcases of, oh, I'm frozen. Are you still there?
Yeah, you're there.
Okay, good, good. Okay. That just allow a space for a young Black woman to see themselves as themselves. Mm-hmm. And so I think my heart, you know, again, my heart breaks for them. And I'm so grateful, though, that they do have these incredible models now. I can say like Marseille, who's like the youngest awarded producer. And I'm like, if you're going to look at anyone, look at her, this beautiful dark skin, eyeglass wearing. She rocked her natural hair for a very long time, you know, and who's also about her business. Yeah. I feel like this generation has been forced to grow up way faster than we had. And I think it's because we had so much access now.
Yeah.
As a child, you know, we were limited with what we were allowed to see. So at home was a way bigger influence on our lives than it is now, where you have social media. You can go to your favorite person's TikTok or Instagram or Twitch and watch them daily. And then you have YouTube and all of these things to tell you, to influence you as a young being. And my heart is just like, I hope that they're able to realize what the truth is. And what I love so much right now in this era, though, is that we're having somewhat of like an emergence of a Harlem Renaissance of Black female creators in front of the camera and behind the camera now, and on stage. And I hope that these new voices being able to speak and creating roles for Black women, and this new saturation and wave that we have of so many different types of Black actresses and Black rappers and singers, that they're able to find themselves in the midst.
Yes. Well, we're definitely finding ourselves in the midst when we watch you and your co-stars on Harlem. You know, it was so refreshing, especially your character, Angie. But when I did my research, I found out that you were skeptical about accepting the character of Angie. Talk about the internal battle you faced deciding whether or not to accept the character's role.
So honestly, my battle was real short, though, because that's just the grace of and the queen that is Tracee Oliver. So I got the audition and you get a notification from your agent. And it said nudity. And everybody on my team knows I don't even submit me for anything when nudity requires. She does not get naked. You can get all of these tears, you can get all of these cries and energy, but I'm not showing up to the office naked. So because no one else has to.
What?
You know? And so I immediately called him and was like, I don't know why you submitted me for this. I didn't even read the character information. Because I don't like to allow myself the opportunity to conflict. So if I know who's attached, I might be like, oh, maybe, or because we're all human, you know, and I don't remove the temptation. I don't want to know how much it is. I don't want to know what network is on. All I saw was nudity, made a phone call. Nope. Mm. And so literally in like 10 minutes, they had got in touch with Tracee Oliver and she emailed back and was like, it's not required. It's not. And she's, as long as they're willing to like fake a love scene or anything like that, is not required. And immediately, just because I know as a woman, especially as a Black woman, how unheard we are, how ignored we are, our boundaries, our morals are just not, we literally have to change, we are used to, have to change the way we talk or the way our hair grows out of our, there's still a Crown Act being passed just the way our hair grows out of our scalp. And so there's so much of this world that just does not care about what a Black woman needs, wants, or desires, let alone your moral high ground, and for a paycheck, you know? And so to have this woman who is at that, she was, a girl's trip had already happened. She had broken records already, and that quickly was willing to alter the engine of her character, the spine of her character, for someone she hadn't even met. I hadn't auditioned for her for her at all yet. This was literally, it's like you get a job is available kind of thing. And I said, and I called my agent that quickly. So for her to do that, I was like, I want to work for her. Even beyond what the character says, this is someone that I would love to work under, to learn from, and just to be my boss. That the fact that she cares, you know, you don't get that a lot in this industry at all.
You don't. So do you, and I think you just answered the question. So overall, do you think that Hollywood is still perpetuating stereotypes that women of color should look a certain way? The straight hair that's down their back, the thin lips, you know, the cheek, like, do you think that the stereotype is still being perpetuated in Hollywood?
I think we're doing our best to try and break that mold. But yes, I do. You find that usually the funny girl is thicker, and the woman who is more intelligent or comes from money is a certain shade. I think we are trying our best to break that mold. I think we're doing that with what I love so much about Angie in Harlem is that she was a woman that I recognize that has been a trope in other people's scripts. But here she was able to live. Here she's able to be a luxurious woman. She's educated. She has people that love her. She's not coming from a broken home. Like, you know, those things, those stereotypes that are usually connected with dark skin, that are usually connected with curviness, lack of self-love, you know? And so I think with each role, with having someone like, and again, I look at Issa Rae, who is a leading lady, who is an ingenue and is playing someone to be desired, and she wears her natural hair. And I think that's so beautiful and so encouraging. And I just like, every time I see her on a red carpet, like my inner child just like goes, yay. Because it's just like to see her on a magazine, to see that hair, specifically that hair on a magazine, and it not have to be this overly curly pattern or overly like voluminous. It's just like the way that just a representative of 4C hair that we don't see as beautiful. Yeah. I love it. I think we are definitely beginning to do that. Mm-hmm. And I'm really excited for this season of Harlem for people to see just again how they are breaking the molds of tropes and stereotypes and colorism. And I'm trying to do that as well with the visuals, with my music. I just dropped my first single, and my first music video is very much leading lady, Hollywood girl. And I just want people, specifically young Black girls, to see a wide nose, full lips, dark skin, curly haired woman as desirable, as chosen, as fancy, as fantastic and main character and loved as much as possible.
Well, it's working. It's definitely working. And I'm going to use myself as a prime example. During the pandemic, I had another choice but to sit and watch and reinvent myself. And I didn't take the advice from my agent who said, oh, no, we still need your hair permed. You know, you're still new to the world of media. We need you to look a certain way. And because I was able to sit and watch certain content like Harlem, like you, I got more comfortable to say, you know what? Perm gone. Yeah. I'm going to start wearing braids. I'm going to, in between that, natural hair, perm no more. You also let me know, or you reminded me that I have full permission to make a decision. Mm-hmm. And I was able to make that decision and stand in my truth 110%. So with you standing in your truth, what truths did Shaniqua bring to the character of Angie?
I wanted to bring, because I had seen this character so much as just a one-liner, as just someone who was in support of another person's life but didn't get to have her own. So I wanted to bring my truth of softness to her, because I know also that that's someone, usually someone who's a mirror and a reflection of everyone around her, someone who's a truth teller, can be a little hard. Can be a little calloused. And usually the abrasion comes from because they're so vulnerable. But I wanted to bring, I was very much in my family, the princess. So I wanted to bring that softness. And because Angie is a princess to me, she is, I'm sorry, the noise, they're doing something or a truck. Oh, a helicopter just passed. But to me, she's just like this a BAP in the truest form of the word, this Black American princess who knows her worth. And I just, I think about also my aunts and all of these women I know who are just so luxurious, even if like the circumstances don't match. And I just know, like, when I look at these women, I'm like, I just know in your ancestors' lineage, you were a queen. You were like literally royalty connected to your lineage, because I've always been that way. Like, no matter growing up in the projects or being homeless, I always gravitated to what I knew was true for me. even in, and not to like to the most materialistic form of that, like always picking out the most expensive thing in the store without knowing it was the most expensive thing in the store, or just like, I'm gonna live in a mansion. Girl, you ain't even got your own bedroom, but I'm gonna live in a mansion one day. Like, that's just, I knew who I was, and I felt like, I feel like a huge part of Angie is that as well, but I just wanted to bring a little bit more Princess, a little bit more Regine, a little bit more Tony Childs to it, you know? And so that was a truth for me that I really brought to Angie. Another thing that I brought to Angie that I felt like was already there, but I wanted to highlight, was her fears as well. I think too, with those big personalities, we don't allow, and that's just, again, for people, it also mirrors like the way that we treat Black women who are strong. We aren't allowed to be broken. We aren't allowed to have moments of self-doubt or moments where we need to be the weak one or where we need to be supported, you know, that dainty, an ingenue lifestyle that are attributed to lighter skin complexions, but not to dark skin. And I just really wanted to give her moments where she did question, because we all have that. I think that's just, it just adds to the realness of who she is. And we don't always aren't allowed to see that. So when there were moments to have just a tiny moment of self-doubt, a tiny moment of question about my future, about Angie's future, or whether what she felt about herself was actually true in the world. It goes to what you were saying, how you can be in the household, be brought up, but in the world not see that. And that's very much like, she is her own household. She is her own firm foundation. Mm-hmm. And so, but when she goes out in the world or on Quinn's couch or to these auditions, she doesn't see that. And so I wanted to have a moment where as many moments as possible, and I would try to like do it at least like 2 to 3 times in an episode. I'm like, where, even if it's just a look, where can I show an inkling of softness, of tenderness, of self-doubt, of fear? Yeah. Because we all have it.
Yeah. And I think that that's important. I'm glad that you mentioned that, because I too am the strong friend. And we have so many women out there who are the strong friend. And what I'm learning how to do, and I haven't fully stepped into it, but I got a little pinky toe in it. I'm learning how to tell my friends what I need. I don't think that I was doing that before. I think that I was always expecting them to know what I needed, and they always saw me as a strong friend. So I think that they thought that I was just going to kind of just figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Now I need to show them I'm vulnerable when I'm fearful and when I need their support and how I need them to support me.
Yes.
Her character, Angie, once again, is giving us a glimpse into, yeah, you can be that strong female who is always standing in her truth unapologetically, but you're also vulnerable, and the world needs to see that as well. So thank you for that. How is it with that that all-star cast? You know, you're working alongside Megan Good. Talk about the camaraderie amongst the cast.
Yeah, it is a dream come true. Literally a prayer. I'm living in a prayer. Years before I booked this show, I was kind of in an Angie moment, unemployed, sleeping on my mama's couch. And I wrote down everything that I wanted in a show, in my next gig. And literally everything that I asked for is in this show. We, one of them was that we prayed and then it was surrounded by Black women. Mm-hmm. I am surrounded by Black women, and we end and begin it with prayer. And these women are the kindest, most accepting, most loving people I have ever met. And it literally comes from the top down. Wow. I told you my first interaction with Tracy before I had even met her, she was considering my morals and my well-being in taking her role in the role for the show. And I really think that energy just trickled down. Megan is so freaking loving and so kind. Like, and I'm just so grateful to call her my sister, because I have been a fanatic of Megan Good forever. Like, so much so that one of my friends worked on Minority Report with her. And before he left, we were in a show together. And I was like, you have to tell Megan Good I love her. You have to tell her how much I love her. You have to the point that he got her to like talked to me and was like, Shaniqua, I wish you were here. We're going to work together. And this was like maybe 8 years or so before we did Harlem. And then even at the audition or our taping, our chemistry test of Harlem together, I stumbled upon her in the bathroom and she hugged me so tightly that I thought she thought I was somebody else, because before, like Idris Elba hugged me one time because he thought I was a wardrobe person he had worked with. So I thought Megan was hugging me with, I was like, oh, she must think I'm somebody. But no, she is just that loving, that kind, that welcoming. And these ladies literally inspire me to be a better person, to like turn up my kindness bar. Cause I can be a little sassy sometimes, you know? Yeah, I got a little bit. I can just like, I'm not over the top, but I can give you a quick one line if you push it too much.
Okay.
But I'm like, they are so graceful. And so supportive that I'm like, I want to be a better, they make me want to be better friends, just better, just a better overall better human being. So it really is living in a prayer, living in a dream. I'm so in love with my castmates.
I'm glad that you mentioned that. One, the power of manifestation, it works.
Yes.
It definitely works. God will lead you. God will lead you. Let it go. Have faith. He will walk you directly into your purpose. But as you were talking, you know, I have to admit, I was getting a little bit emotional because the way that the world is just constructed today, women, we're just struggling to hold on to a friend, a sister girl, someone we can lean on and be vulnerable with. So because the camaraderie amongst the cast of women of color is so strong, that's why it resonates on screen. So your message really reminded me there, darling, there's queens out there who are for you. You might feel a little alone right now, but you're going to find your tribe.
Yes.
People who are going to hold on to you. You're going to hold on to them. They're going to give you everything that you needed. So you are really just dropping gems. This is what I love about having conversations with people like you, because I see the beauty in you. I just got to bring you on camera so that we can just spread the word, spread the news, spread the amazing news about God's awesomeness and how he's people like you. So thank you for sharing that. And that your music, it gave me a little bit, you know, a little Mary J. Evans, a little Anita Baker.
Wow.
Sade. No lie. When I first listened to, it's called Something About You, right?
Yes, ma'am.
When I When I listen to new music, I like to turn off the music. I light a candle. And I just want to hear. I just want to hear because I just want the images to just come across my mental screen. And then after that, I look at the video. And what I saw in the video, it matched what was going on in my head.
Yes.
The sea of color. Of melanin dopeness. Talk about Something About You and why it was so important for you to create that song.
I'm just, thank you so much for that. And I love the way that you listen to music. I'm a candle burner as well. So it just sets
it on now, child.
Okay. It's therapy. It really is. So it's the gentle life we all deserve.
Yes.
And for me, I feel like music is just the highest form of communication. I said this so many times, but it's just amazing the way that music is able to penetrate our spirits and lyrics are able to embed into our souls, because I can remember song lyrics better than I can remember very, very important details of my life. And sometimes song lyrics you don't even like. And I also noticed too how just like prophetic it is as well. And I wanted to be very, very conscious of that, to sing and write lyrics that I would like prophesied or created into my life, and would love to have created into other people's lives as they sing it. And I have not experienced love yet, but because I always felt like it could be a distraction, from the pursuit of my dream. And that was like past thoughts, but I just didn't think or didn't see that Black women could have it all. Mm. It was limited thinking, but I hadn't seen a possibility of that for me represented. That's a lie of the devil. And I know that we can have anything and everything and all of the cake it eats it too. So when I realized that, I was like, well, let me create a song or write something about a person who that just like resonates with my truth, a woman who's in pursuit of her goals, who's very in pursuit of a dream and her purpose, but meets someone who feels like, who makes her think all of a sudden that love can be a priority as well, and that there is enough room for it all, and to tell the truth of someone who has been hurt before and put up the walls. Mm-hmm. But this person makes them feel like they can be vulnerable and all soft and gooey. And so that was something about you. And then with the visuals, the great Megan Good came on as a director, who is just, again, a queen angel in her support of everyone around her. And honestly encouraged me to do it because I was a bit fearful of releasing the song, showing that part of myself. I've been singing all my life, and honestly, almost every role that I've done as an actress has forced me to sing, because God don't play no games with this shot. Okay. He's like, girl, you don't use this gift, whether you want to or not. If you want that acting paycheck, you're going to have to sing. So, okay. But when you get the Megan Good on something, you can't hold it, you know? So she was another influence and vital part of propelling me even as a musician. And we really wanted to show a Black Cinderella story. Mm-hmm. And because I want Black girls to look at this and be fed, to look at it and see themselves in a way that we don't always get to see ourselves, which is chosen, which is loved and glamorous and worthy of being a household name and on the cover of magazines and walking red carpets and all of the curvy splendor. And so we really wanted to show some main character loving energy. And then also, even with the choice of Isaac Keys, he's a beautiful man.
Yeah. He was on the show before. So when I saw the video, I said, you know what?
Yeah, I'm such a fan of him.
There's a tribe right here.
Okay. And I'm just so grateful of him to him for doing the video. But I also like see men who look like him. They don't get to be soft. They don't get to be romantic. They're there just to be the tough guy. And I'm like, that's a part. But I'm like, I also feel like that's another pigeonhole that they do to Black men. If you look too strong, you can't be anything but somebody's like bodyguard that's not Isaac's story at all. But I wanted to show that for men who look like Isaac, that they can be romantic and in a suit and elegant and seen as, you know, someone who is dapper and fine and loving and soft of a Black woman, to a Black woman. And we wanted to use the video as much as possible to show our bodies in a way that we don't get to see them in Hollywood.
Yes. Well, you understood the assignment. You really did. And, you know, what resonated with me is you said that you created the song or, you know, pushed through the song because you wanted to feed people. And I had to shift as a content creator and a person who is in media. Whenever I do something, before I start, I have to say, okay, what do I want to leave people with? I just can't do it just to say I've done it. Like, I want things to land. And now you worded it in a way where it kind of makes more sense for me. Like, how do I want to feed people? Yeah. I want to give them something healthy. I want to give them something nutritious. I want to be full as they walk away. So I'm glad that you're leading your life with such intention, such purpose. You've allowed the evolution of yourself because you decided. So that. What can we expect from your character, Angie, on season 2 of Harlem?
Oh, I think, well, you can expect to see a different side of Angie. That's what you can definitely expect. Yeah, what I love so much about season 2 is we get to see, just peel even further into who these women are, into their foundations. And I think you can definitely expect to see Angie still in pursuit of her dreams. But yeah, with, you get to see her beginning and a side of her that we don't always attribute to, that hasn't been a space created for women who look like her. Mm-hmm. So I'm really, really excited about this season 2 for Angie and just what it's going to do for the Black community.
Yes. I'm excited too, to the point, like, I've been Googling. I'm like, okay, when is the season premiere?
Okay.
Harlem, you know, season 2. I'm waiting. I cannot wait. So I will definitely be tuned in. My daughter, she's in her 20s. She's tuned in. It is such a multi-generational type of show that after every single episode, we sit down and we look at each other and we say, okay, let's talk.
Wow. Yes.
Like, okay, what resonated with you? What are you going to take away? What are you going to do differently? So the show is definitely feeding not only me, but it's feeding my daughter. So thank you once again for being intentional and being purposeful. I'm going to ask you for a quick favor. And, you know, I didn't share this with you before, but I just allow God to use me. And I do so graciously. Do you mind if we close out this conversation with a prayer?
Yes, please. Because I wanted to start it with a prayer. So let's go.
Thank you so much, Heavenly Father. I come to you with all that I am, just as humble and as gracious and thankful for everything that you have bestowed upon us. Thank you for giving us the truth that we need to navigate through the challenges and obstacles of this world. Thank you for holding our hands whenever we feel that we're about to fall. Thank you for giving us the courage and the fortitude to continue pushing on. Thank you for everything that we have not yet seen, but we know that you have in store for us. Thank you, Lord, for everything. Thank you, Lord, for everything that is soon to come, because we are going to walk graciously and humbly into it. We thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Yes.
Thank you, Queen. I appreciate you.
Queen.
Thank you.
Thank you. You're going to make me cry.
I wasn't intending on this. Let me tell you, the only time I cried on show was when Maya Angelou died. I was a brawling baby. Oh. But when I come across, you know, people like you who remind me that it is possible, I'm humble beyond words. And I mean it. So thank you for gracing and blessing this show. It has been amazing. I'm full. I've been fed. My daughter just came in and I'm just going to go, you know, share this moment with her. Thanks again.
Thank you so much for having me.
You take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
OMG. Girl, she got me crying on the show. Crying on the show. That's when you know the conversations are real. Conversations are real. So if you haven't learned anything from this conversation, child, what are you doing? What are you really, really doing? This is what I love. When you watch something, it's supposed to make you feel something. When you have a conversation with someone, it's supposed to make you feel something. You're supposed to be fed. If you're in spaces where you are not being fed, that is not the space for you at all. And I've intentionally kind of redesigned my life in a way where every single space that I enter, every single conversation that I embark upon, it has to feed me. It has to feed me. If I'm walking away and there's no takeaways, it was a waste of my time, child. And I guarantee you, I will not be in that space. I guarantee you that I will not be in that conversation again. She is a living example of just making a decision to do something differently, to really stand in your truth. I'm in love. I'm going to continue stalking her. And if I see her again shopping for shoes in Bloomingdale's, I'll be like, hey, girl. This is Sonya. What shoe you buying today? So this has been another amazing edition of Sonya on Air with actress Shaniqua Shonde. Make sure that you watch season 1 of Harlem, which is streaming on Amazon Prime. And season two is about to start very, very soon. So you have time to catch up. Support, 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 so that they get another season three, season four, season five, season six, season 59, 11. I don't care. I just need this show to stay. Make sure that you subscribe to Sonya On Air. Hit the notification button. And I'll see you next time for an all-new amazing edition of Sonya On Air. Smooches, dolls. Mwah.